This is the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ.
So we had a story from Bean's wife a couple of days ago on Ray Parker Jr.'s birthday. It's a big birthday celebration.
Ray Parker Jr. was a pop singer, R&B pop singer, back in the 80s. And he's most popular probably today for Ghostbusters, if you've ever seen that movie. He's the guy that sang the theme song to Ghostbusters, big number one hit. And he was pretty popular for a number of years, although not so much anymore, but at the time, he was a pretty big star, I guess.
Who are you going to call? Come on, everybody knows Ray Parker Jr.
Of course.
So Bean's wife had a run-in with him when she was 15, and this is the story that she told him.
I was 15 years old. I worked at a little ice cream shop at Magic Mountain, and it was my job to scoop out the ice cream and put it in a little dish or a cone and give it to the client.
Right.
So Ray Parker Jr. comes in, and he orders a root beer float. And they were like $1.50 for the small, $1.75 for medium, $2 for large. You know, like 25 cents difference.
Right.
Well, he wants the small one, but he wants an extra scoop of ice cream.
In the small one.
And I say, I can't give you an extra scoop of ice cream because that's the next size up. That'll be 25 cents. And he goes, well, I don't want the next size up. I just want another scoop of ice cream. And I'm 15 years old. This is my first job. I have like a work permit. I've been there about a week. So I'm terrified to lose this job.
Yeah.
And he just starts screaming at me, wants to see the manager. And I said, sir, I'm so sorry, but I have to charge you the 25 cents if you want the extra scoop. And he goes, put the mother effing ice cream in the cup, you bitch. And he hurls the root beer float at me.
He threw it at you?
He hurled it at me.
Did you know who he was at the time?
Well, he made sure that we knew who he was by saying, don't you know who I am? I'm
excellent.
Ray Parker Jr. I wrote that Ghostbusters song.
Wow. So there you go. That's good times right there.
I wrote that Ghostbusters song.
Don't you know who you're going to call? That's me.
That's so sad.
So you go home at the end of the day. How was your day, honey? Well, I had a root beer float thrown at me by the guy who said Ghostbusters. So that's the kind of bad celebrity encounter that is exactly what we're looking for. What happened to you?
Chris and Colton, good morning.
Hey, good morning, party people.
So you came across Coolio.
Yes, I was working at Mountain High in Houston, and he came in and wanted to make himself a burrito. So they set him up in the back room on a table, right? And he's pretty nice at first. Came in, grabbed me by my shirt, pulled me over to the table he was at. Okay, so first off, I'm completely terrified.
Chris, if you don't mind just backing up a second, why did he have to make his own burrito?
Because he wanted to.
Okay, all right.
He had to make it on his own.
So he grabs you.
Dude, that's how they do it in Gangster's Paradise.
Anyways, he told me he wanted chicken, lettuce, onion, tomatoes, and something else. Can't remember off the top of my head. So I go and I grab him some chicken, you know, like they have them in the pan. He grabs a piece of the chicken out of the pan and flicks it at me and says, no, I want it fresh.
Oh, yes.
I'm stunned because all of our fresh chicken is frozen. So I'm like, all right, you know, I'll get you a bag of frozen chicken.
That's too much time in the kitchen with Coolio. I'm sorry.
I'm stunned that Coolio was at Mountain High. That's what I'm stunned.
Exactly. Chris, thank you for the call. We got a bunch of others we need to get to. Let's move along to, let's go to Kimmy in Alhambra. We're talking about bad run-ins with celebrities. Hi, Kimmy. What celebrity did you run into?
Good morning. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning.
We were at the Troubadour watching my uncle's band play, and we were all outside having a cigarette, and one of my cousins runs in and says, oh, hey, you know, one of our other cousins was having a drink with Judd Nelson. Ugh. And we were like, wow, Judd Nelson? That's kind of random.
Mm-hmm.
So we all kind of go inside, and a friend of mine, you know, we walk up to him, and he, like, puts his hand out to shake his hand.
Right.
And he shook his hand, and then, you know, I went up to him to shake his hand, and he kind of just looked at me, and I was thinking, gosh, what a jerk. He's not going to shake my hand. All of a sudden, he gives me a hug, and like with one hand, he undoes my bra strap.
Come on. That's talent right there.
Yeah, and it was like I was wearing a shirt where my cousin had to like come over and like, you know, fix it real quick. And by the time I turned around, he was already gone.
That's really funny. He had to have done that on purpose, right?
Oh,
had to have. That's so funny.
Judd Nelson, by the way, from St. Elmo's Fire and The Breakfast Club and a bunch of 80s movies. I think he was on some TV show in the 90s, too.
Suddenly Susan,
that was it. You don't see much of him anymore, that's for sure.
Thank God, how'd you come up with this stuff?
Suddenly Susan. Nomi Nami in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi, Nomi. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Who did you?
Hi.
By the way, just
I
this.
I ran into Mel Gibson actually when I used to live in New York City. I was a little kid at the time.
Right.
I was with my mom and my dad, and they're filming Ransom with Gary Sinise, directed
right.
by Ron Howard. And this is after like the bloody gunshot scene, you know, where he like comes out of the window. He watched the whole thing, and anyway. We're standing by his trailer, and he had just filmed for about an hour, so he wasn't, I mean, it was in the middle of the day. He hadn't been, you know, in, like, that long of a day or anything
right.
working, but we stood by his trailer, I kind of off, you know, to the side, and there are these two girls that went right up to him, like, right up to the door, waiting for him to come out with paper and their little Sharpies.
Right.
And once he came out of the trailer, you know, they freaked out. I'm like, oh, can I have an autograph? You know, like any fans would. And he just kind of stood there and looked at both of them and said, how many of you are there?
Well, how many were
and
there?
He just kind of, you know.
How many there. Were there, Nomi? How many people were there?
There are two.
Two?
It was two girls and people off on the side because they wouldn't, you know, go near him.
How
but
many
anyway,
of you are there? That's
the worst
strange.
Part was he took these papers out of the girl's hand, signed them, and basically threw it. Like, one of them he just tossed to. The other one he pushed it, he, like, shoved it right in her chest.
Yeah.
Like, just pushed it there.
Nice.
Slammed
Listen
the door
to Mike. He's so happy Mel Gibson dominated a teenager.
How many of you are there? All of two?
It's funny because Mel Gibson is the exact opposite guy you would expect
yeah.
to encounter. I mean,
generally speaking.
Yeah, and who knows, by the way, you know, that telling of the story, who knows how true it is or what the circumstances were or what was going on in Mel Gibson's life or anything like that, what kind of day he was having. But it's not what you expect when you run into Mel Gibson, that's for sure.
Speaking of telling stories, if you could start 10 seconds before the incident, that would help.
We were at a bar, we were seeing a band, and I went out to have a smoke, and then a guy went back in, then he saw another guy.
Seriously, just get to the celebrity part.
Just get to the part where something bad happened.
We don't need the co-star and director of the movie?
No, we don't need any of that. Thank
Mike
you, though.
In Long Beach, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Mike.
What celebrity did you have a run-in with?
Reggie Jackson.
All right.
Went to get autographs from the team, finished that up. He was coming out of another entrance away from the parking. Other side of the stadium and walked all the way around with him, you know, had a great conversation with him. We walked to his car because I had a ballpoint pen and he had a Sharpie, which would have looked better on the ball. Opened up the car door, jumped in, and drove off.
Oh, my God.
There you go, Reggie. By the way, he's still laughing about that.
He made the right call. That's awesome. All right, let's go to John and Aliso Viejo. Hi.
John. Kevin Bean, Lisa May, Popozal for
Popozal.
One.
Popozal.
To you as well.
Same
to you. Who did you run into?
Johnny Knoxville, man. A trash waste. I mean, the guy must have been hammered off every drug in the world.
No!
The guy is just lit.
All
and
right.
My little sister, who's 17, walks up to him with my mom, me, and her, and says, hey, can I get your autograph or a picture with you? And he looks her up and down and says, you can get whatever you want with me. And my mom's like, excuse me? And he's like, oh, sorry, Mom. So he's like, let me get that picture. Had two beers in his hands. Swings his arm around my sister. Beers all over my mom.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That is so Johnny Knoxville and so what you expect when you run into him.
That's really a daily occurrence with him, I think.
Yeah, no kidding. That's fantastic.
Let's go to Whitney. Good morning, Whitney.
Good morning, Popo's out. Kevin and B. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
So you're a Magic Mountain. Who did you run into?
Robbie Williams.
Now, this is a huge, huge...
And him and his entourage come up right in front of us as we're about to get on, and we start saying, hey, you know, get back in the back of line. And he turns around and just spits right at us.
Robbie Williams spit?
Yeah.
Spitting rules. That's good news right there. Wow, Robbie Williams is a huge singer in England. He's not so big here, but wow, to get spit, that rules.
That's disgusting.
Dave in Valley Village, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and I ran into Burt Bacharach. I had to kick him out of one of my porn stores.
Sorry.
Now, for folks who don't know the name, Burt Bacharach, very popular songwriter mostly, also sings a bit, but songwriter from the 60s, and he was in a porn store buying what?
Yeah, I was a district manager for a couple porn stores here in the Valley, and we had to close the store down for about an hour because we had a problem, and I made an announcement and told everybody that if they wanted to buy something, they had to buy it now. Anyhow, about 10 minutes into it, he comes walking up the counter with a stack of porn mags, and wants to buy them, and I said, you know, I can't sell these to you now. You're going to have to wait about a half hour. And he pulls out his ID and stuff. He goes, man, I'm effing Burt Bacharach, and slams the thing down on the table. And I was like, man, I don't care who you are, but, you know, just get the hell out of the store.
Yeah.
Dude, when he says what the world needs now is love, he means he needs love right now.
My God, he really wanted his porn. Sometimes you got to have your porn.
That's right.
All right, Lisa, we're saving the best for last. You ready for JC in Sherman Oaks?
Not really.
Hi, JC.
Go ahead, JC.
How you guys doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. All right, good deal. I had a run-in with Tori Spelling, and it was a really horrible run-in, to say the least. I was over at Dimples Karaoke Bar in Burbank.
Right.
And she came in with her entourage and quickly shuffled my friend and I over into the corner because of their huge entourage.
Right.
Realized very quickly it was her birthday, and she was essentially way drunk, like to the point where her eyes were virtually rolling up and her head drunk. And
allegedly.
What's that?
I said, go ahead.
Okay. And to make it worse, she started doing a little sort of hottie dance with her hottie friend out on the dance floor, just her and her friend right in front of me and my friend,
right.
We were sitting on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
She turns around, starts basically doing essentially a private dance for us, hiking up her tiny little skirt, come to realize no underwear. And not only was it her birthday, but it was also her time of the month.
Oh!
Stop.
I just threw up.
Stop.
Horrible.
No.
Dude. Horrible.
But no.
Oh, no, she did not.
I was wishing I had my spy camera with me. Oh. I would have made $1 million in National
Enquirer. I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
Oh. I just threw up.
That's not good.
It was horrible.
A lot of people in the audience look.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ.
She's a school teacher. She said something so troubling that we have asked her to come in today so that we could set her straight.
I would slap her around a little bit.
Good morning, Erica. Where are you a teacher?
I teach at Taft High School.
Taft, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what grade do you teach?
Mostly 9th and 10th, English.
Okay, boy, that's got to be tough.
Yeah, it is.
How old are you, by the way?
I'm 33.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you deal at 33? How do you deal with kids that are like 16?
That all fall in love with you and have a crush and want to hit on you.
No, I'm way past that.
No, I'm not saying you're interested in them.
No. I mean, they don't have crushes on me anymore. You reach a certain age.
Oh, that's what you think.
Yeah, that's what you think, man. Anymore. They are thinking about you every night, last thing before they go to bed,
oh,
if you get
please,
my meaning.
Stop it.
I'm just saying.
What is wrong? I haven't gotten to work yet.
I'm just saying.
All right, now, you called us, and you're in charge of what? Some kind of a senior?
I'm the senior class sponsor.
Okay, and what event are you having that you were looking for entertainment for?
I'm planning a senior class breakfast, and it's a 4-hour event, but 2 hours is spent, you know, eating, meeting, mingling. It's only for the seniors.
Okay.
And then the last 2 hours is spent signing yearbooks and then watching a senior video. But then we need to provide some type of entertainment.
Okay, so you said for the entertainment part of the breakfast.
Right.
You thought maybe it would be a good idea
to have the Armenian comedian.
Now, was that your idea, or did someone else come to you and say maybe this would be a good
idea?
No,
that was my idea. Yeah. I was struggling because last year they had a comedian who, you know, kind of boosted the crowd. And I thought it would be really neat to kind of have a comedian who's a local, you know, celebrity, so to speak.
Well, you were struggling. You're right about that.
Well, what about the comedian part? You're forgetting about the comedian part. Erica, here's what we're trying to say to you. Okay. You're asking to walk around with a hand grenade with a pin pulled. You're right on the verge of disaster.
I really think the students would enjoy it.
Okay.
Honestly.
Well, on that note, let's bring in Sam.
So have you met him yet, Erica?
No, but when I was talking to Lightning, I had this fear that he was going to look like Jabba the Hutt.
There he is.
I'm here.
Hey, the Armenian comedian, everybody.
He's not that bad.
He also brought his ventriloquist dummy. Boy, that's his new thing.
Yeah. Hey, I haven't seen Sam in a while. Where is he with the toupee? On or off these days?
Off.
He's completely just got rid of the toupee altogether?
He's completely bald. Yeah. All right, now Sam, Erica here is a teacher, and she's looking for some entertainment for their senior breakfast. Now, money is this only time. The only time money is in the next room watching is when the Armenian comedians are. All right, now, can you kind of run through some of the things you do so that you could do at her thing, like you're a comedian, first off.
You know something? God works mysterious
he
ways.
Does. He does.
And the other day, believe it or not, your name is
Erica.
Erica.
Yeah.
I was
going
to say that, but I wanted to
keep
check
going,
myself.
Good story.
And I was saying that I have all this capability to do that in front of Armenian private schools. I was going to call them, and because I have my new partner here, Nick. Say hi to Nick, everybody.
This is his ventriloquist dummy that's sitting in his lap.
And
by the way, Sam, ventriloquism, big hit on radio. It works great because people
and high schoolers
and
are crazy
also,
for
Kevin
it.
Kevin also wanted to see my ventriloquist act. This is very good. And I was trying to call the schools and do
okay,
my
forget
act,
about the school thing. Now, give us 20 seconds of what you would be doing with your ventriloquist dummy, Nick, in front of Erica's school.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Armenian comedian. You walk up on stage.
Please, Nick, would you tell the fellas that what you've been up to lately, that since you met me? Well, every time I go to the school, every time I'm here, stuck with this fellow, and he's my big me, you know?
Okay. All right. Wait a minute. Didn't the you know drive it home, Bean?
No, I'm afraid not. Why, since we haven't talked to you in a while, Sam, why the sudden veer into ventriloquism? How did you decide to add that to the repertoire? Because you're already Mr. Clown. You already had a very successful rock and roll band. We'll play some of that for Eric in a minute. You, of course, have been a famous stand-up comedian for many, many years. Why expand the act at this point?
Because, like Jimmy Kimmel says, that I have more talent in my little pinky finger.
Yeah, well, he's right about that.
Then what?
He's right about
you
that.
You can't just have more talent.
Then what?
Well, because I'm trying to add the spice in me, you know?
You're trying to add the spice in you. Yeah. Sure.
At some point, are you going to try to stop moving your mouth?
When I have Nick with me, yes, of course. But I'm also doing my rock and roll.
Are you still metal, man? Is that still your rock band?
Yes, okay. Metal Man.
Can I play?
It's not ventriloquism if you just have a dummy on your hand and you speak out loud both parts. You have to throw
now,
your voice.
Right now, because I'm doing the talking, not him.
I know, but when he was doing the talking, we saw your mouth moving just like it normally does when you talk.
Except you were gritting your teeth.
What we're saying is if you're going to do a ventriloquist act, you're supposed to look like you're not talking and he's doing the talking. And by the way, not only was the Armenian comedian's mouth moving, but the mouth of the puppet was way off with the words. Sometimes it was closed. Sometimes it was opening when there was no words. That's the worst ventriloquist act I've ever seen.
That's what my gimmick is.
Oh, he needs to be bad.
You're being bad. Kevin, do you have some clips standing by? Maybe Erica hasn't heard some of the rock and roll that Sam does.
Well, I do have two different clips from Sam's rock band, Metal Man. The first is my
could
love.
You, could you
well, hi, how about if you just be quiet?
Yeah, sprap same rules on each other.
Oh, Spraying Bullets, we'll get to. We'll get to Spraying Bullets. Is that your favorite? That's your hit? That's the one that you're
most favorite with the teenagers?
Yeah, for skin teenagers.
That's pretty smart. Well, first he did a love song CD for Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And for that he did My Love is Like a Peanut Butter Sandwich.
Yeah. Honey, my love is like peanut butter sandwich. Let me explain to you how I'm going to make this love sandwich together, peanut.
Yeah.
That'll drive the girls crazy, Sam. They're just
going to
melt into little puddles, man.
Huh? You know what we're saying?
They're underage.
Yeah. My love is like a peanut butter sandwich.
You know, Kevin, I'm surprised you put that song in front of this crowd right there. It wasn't the right song.
Also, I'm choosing the wrong songs
yes.
to showcase.
Don't make him
I
look
see.
Bad, Kevin.
Yes.
Come on.
I apologize. That was all.
I told you to put the Stop Train Bullets.
Okay,
inside.
That was my bad.
You
and
should put it right there.
Can you say capabilities one more time?
Capability.
Good, okay. And now the song that Sam wants us to play for you, and this might be a good message for the high school seniors. Wake up, teenagers, stop spraying bullets on each other.
Wake up, teenagers, don't play with the guns. Stop playing with the guns, spray the bullets on each other.
Come on.
What's great about Sam's music is it sounds like he's making up the lyrics to every song as he goes along.
Yeah. I think
that's,
he might.
That's impressive
because he is.
All right, so that's the ventriloquism. That's the rock and roll. And so Erica can make her final decision, Sam. Do you have a joke that just kills him? No pun intended, just kills him in high schools?
You want me to tell the joke or the dummy is going to?
No,
dummy.
No.
Dummy.
No, you.
Dummy. Dummy.
You want the dummy to tell
absolutely.
The joke? All right, have the dummy tell the joke.
Well, how come the headless chicken crossed the street?
Why, Nick?
Because he wanted to eat the headless man riding his horse. And they tell each other, let's go to the library to read some books.
I didn't get
that. Okay. Light, escort Sam out. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. Good to see you again. Take care.
Take him out, please.
Bye-bye, Sam.
All right. Erica?
He'll scare the kids straight. Definitely.
You still think it's a good idea? We're telling
you. If she wants him.
Listen, we're advising you in the strongest words we can come up with. Don't do this. But if you want to, he's available.
I think he's only good for about 10 minutes, though.
I think he's only good for about 3 minutes.
I think you heard about as much as anyone can take him, Sam.
I swear
right
to God,
here.
Our audience revolts if we put him on more than like once every couple of months.
Well, look, all we can do is make sure you understand what you're getting yourself into. This is like buying a lemon, man. All we can do is tell you the car's breaking down when you drive off the lot. But if that's the car you want, then more power to you. I hope it works out.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll hook you up with Sam.
Perfect.
It's the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
I missed the story out of El Salvador. What do you know about these prisoners? What was going on down there, Ralph?
Well, apparently, in a maximum security prison, authorities found four prisoners that were smuggling cell phones inside the prison. Now, how they were smuggling them sounded painful at best.
I'm just trying to think. They just don't let you carry something into prison. I mean, you pretty much have to hide it, right?
No. I mean, and there's been a long history of people smuggling stuff into prisons for years. I mean, drugs and weapons and that kind of stuff. But as far as I can tell, this is the first time they took x-rays of the inmates and found out that they had smuggled cell phones wrapped in plastic bags into their bodies, up their butts.
No. Cell phones.
Authorities found 9 cell phone chips, as well as the cell phone stuffed up the butts of these four guys, and 1 cell phone charger.
Well, you got to have a charger.
Because really, once it you know, the battery goes down, they're no good.
Oh, my God.
Do prisoners in El Salvador have electricity in their cells? Do they have a place to plug in their phone to recharge it?
I don't know if they have electricity up their butts.
He was plugged in up his ass. That's where he was charging the phone, actually.
Wow, 9 cell phones. I'd give up one of those cell phones and bring an iPod or something. I'd mix it up a little bit. But
4 guys, 4 cell phones, 9 cell phone chips, and 1 cell phone charger were found.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Inside the 4 cellmates.
And they were using those cell phones to continue to run their crime operations outside the prison, right?
That's what they planned. Apparently, they were extorting business owners. They were a very organized gang, and this way they could call from inside the prison and still carry on their illegal activities.
That's funny. Well, we wanted to find out more about this because, let's face it, most of us on this show, pretty clueless when it comes to prison, but we do have a K-Rock listener named Rudy, who you know from his Raider updates, and let's dial him up right now, because if anybody knows about this, like, is this happening in America, too? What do you guys think? I don't know.
Rudy's done some time. Maybe he knows. He's the guy to ask. Call him and see what he's up to. Probably still getting over the Raiders loss.
Oh, that was rough. Yeah.
Hello. Hello,
Rudy.
Hey,
Rudy.
What's up, guys?
Rudy. You're right.
Yeah. What's happening? You guys call me. Want to talk about jail?
This connection is bad.
Yeah. What's going on with the phone? Where did we reach you, Rudy?
Yeah, I'm in prison. I'm in Twin Towers downtown LA.
You're inside now. You're in jail now, as we call.
Yeah, man. I got a little trouble over the weekend. You know, like I was playing like a Raiders pickup game. You know.
Yeah.
And like we were all arguing. I was arguing with Ghost Dog, that homeboy from La Cienega. He goes, hey, I want to be Randy Moss. And I'm like, nah, dog, I'm Randy Moss. And he's like, nah, bitch, I'm Randy Moss. And we were down at MacArthur Park, so, you know, I had to handle my business. I shanked him a couple times, you know.
There's okay, hold on, Rudy, Rudy, hold on
right
a
there,
second.
The popos, they handcuff me.
Yeah, I can't listen. This phone is connection.
Is there anything you can do with the phone? Are you on a
phone there in the jail?
Listen, I think I can clear up the connection real quick. Hold on.
Oh, wait a minute.
Much better.
Was that cell phone in your ass?
Hell yeah.
Rudy.
They don't let you have no cell phones in prison, but I thought you got to do what you got to do, eh?
Oh, no wonder it was disgusting. That odd, muffled echo sound.
Oh, man, I should have used a smaller cell phone. I use a rotary phone. I don't know.
Cell phones?
Yeah, if one of you's got like a Razor or one of them new chocolate dogs, yeah. It'd be fitting if it was a chocolate phone. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, it would be fitting, yes.
But man, yeah, it was an old Pac Bell, man. Damn.
Rudy, are you? Well, that sounds very painful.
Yeah, what's up, babe? All right, so what
are you? Are you holding that phone with your hand right now? You pull it right from your ass, then right to your face?
Yeah, no problems, eh? It kind of smells like my cellmate's pee-pee.
Oh, stop it.
You know what I'm saying?
You
got to prepare for the situation, you know what I'm saying?
So,
you're swapping the poop deck.
So apparently there is cell phone smuggling going on even in prisons here in the United States.
Yeah, no, you know what I'm saying, dog? Like, you still got to handle your business once you're in prison. You know what I'm saying? Just because you get locked up doesn't mean you can't handle your business on the streets. You know what I'm saying? Like, Little Trigger, my cousin,
right.
You know, he's got his weed business down in Almonte, you know what I'm saying, off Peck Road. You know, so he needs me. I got connections now inside. So, like, sometimes he needs me to... darn.
What is that?
What's that?
Whose phone is that, Rudy?
It's my phone. It's probably Stagrel. Hold on real quick.
He's got another phone in his ass?
What's up? Nah, listen, I'm on the phone with Kevin and Bean, bitch. I can't talk right now, right? All right, I talked to my lawyer earlier. All right, listen, I got to go. I'm on the radio, all right? Whatever. Hey, what's up, guys?
So that's... Rudy, you pulled a phone out of your ass to talk to us, and then another phone rang in your ass, too?
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would I limit myself to one line? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Room?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like
discomfort?
The DEA, they'd be phone tapping me or whatever. I got a couple of lines. You know what I'm saying? They can't handle me.
Well, now, what's that?
Rudy.
That's probably... Oh, man.
Another phone?
Yeah, it's probably Victor. You know? Oh!
Oh,
that one's gotta hurt.
Hello? Oh,
that sounded like a payphone.
It was a Blackberry. Hey,
oh, wow.
Now it's a Brownberry.
As much as those of us here on the show enjoy poking fun at our man Kevin occasionally,
mm-hmm.
No one seems to enjoy it more than his own wife does.
Oh, no, she lives for it.
Last week she called me up and said, oh, I've got some hysterical things about Kevin I have to tell you, and you can use them on the show.
Well, she'd have to laugh, really, wouldn't she, Ralph? Otherwise, she'd just weep nonstop.
She said, first of all,
but why does she need to call and tip Ralph off?
So I said, you have to ask Kevin why he's now starting to sign checks in the memo line on the checks instead of where the signature goes.
Huh.
Which I thought was
I did that once.
Curious.
So she said you need to sign
this. Kind of dyslexic of you, really.
She said you need to sign this check. So I just started signing. She says, over on the right.
Where, you know where people sign checks? Just right in
like
the memo.
10,000 times
I was
before.
Paying attention to something else. I'm
Charlton
sure it was
Heston
something important.
Is still signing his checks on the right-hand side, by the way. Just wanted
and,
you to know.
And by the way, it's K-E-V-I-N.
And don't use a crayon, Kevin, for God's sakes, she added. But the most interesting thing is lately Kevin is getting a big kick. You know he has an obsession about buying things on the internet. He's hooked.
Oh, yeah.
He's hooked on buying things on the internet. Buys all kinds of things he doesn't necessarily even need.
Oh, it's everything I need.
Every day you buy something online, right? That's what we've come to understand.
Pretty much.
Every day.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Kevin's new kick is he is having things sent to himself with different names on it.
Yay!
Like Dr. Kevin Ryder will get a package at his house there in Tarzana.
Here's the thing.
Or Professor Kevin,
why
which I thought was good.
That?
I don't really know. I just
Master
thought
Kevin Ryder. A package come from Master Kevin Ryder.
I just thought it'd be funny because they don't care who they send it to. They'll put anything you put in the name for the delivery.
Sure.
So Dr. Kevin cracks me up that they are going to put Dr. Kevin.
That's what we need to explore is why that cracks you up.
I
don't know.
I think it's very funny.
Thank you, Lisa.
Lisa's
on my side.
You don't think we file
I think
that
I'm
under,
gonna do it.
Got too much time on your hands, Kevin?
Maybe.
Don't file it under that?
But when you fill in the billing information.
Right.
And that's all got to be accurate. But
sure.
When it comes to the shipping information, the name,
uh-huh.
They'll put anything.
So you get a giggle when a package comes to your house saying Dr. Kevin Ryder when you have written down Dr. Kevin Ryder. Are you surprised by that? It comes to you, this is so funny, because it's doctor, and then you wrote it a week earlier.
I got one yesterday to the Honorable Kevin. No, that was funny.
But I think my all-time favorite one that Melissa clued us in on is...
Wait a minute, before you get to that. At some point, you start playing with it, and you say, all right, they're going to put anything I write.
Yeah.
So now you got to get a little further. You got to say, I'm going to test them and say, if I put such
Can I
and
guess?
Such, yeah, sure.
Mistress Kevin?
Let me write that down.
No, you haven't used that one yet. It's the best one. You'll never guess these, but it's the best thing ever.
But really?
How are you testing it? How are you testing it, by the way? It's probably just a computer program that prints out a label.
A mailing label, yeah.
I don't know. It's just they'll put whatever you put there. Whatever you want to put in the name
but
slot.
It's not a test. It's not like there's some guy who's weighing whether he's going to transcribe it or not.
There's no way I'm writing Dr. Kevin on this. No way. Kevin really gets it past him. But my favorite one is, and can I get a little fanfare here?
Sure, yeah.
The Duke of Tarzana.
That's great.
Kevin
Your mailman must be dying.
Yeah,
though.
See, now I'm cracking up the mailman.
To the Duke of Tarzana.
I did get a package to the Duke of Tarzana. That is true.
The Duke of Tarzana.
How stupid is that?
Way stupid.
Why the dude? Tarzana doesn't have a dupe.
Of course not.
But the point is that it's... They'll put anything you want.
Well, we've established that. At what point does the novelty wear off?
I can't get past it yet. I'm still working on getting past that.
What's going on in your life where you're sitting home and this is the way you're entertaining yourself?
I don't know.
I really... It's not two small children, for God's sake.
It doesn't take any time. It's not like it takes up any more time than regular.
We know the way you think. It takes time for you to come up with a new
guitar for hours. Let's see. The Earl? No. That's a guy's name.
I did Kevin the Great. That came once.
Kevin the Great. I can't believe you got that past him.
Wow, you really fooled him, man.
Hey, why the Duke? You know the Duke is below the king, right? Why couldn't you just be the king?
Well, it's not crazy.
Maybe he's working his way up.
Obviously, there's no king in Tarzana.
There's no way they're going to let that slide. He puts King of Tarzana down. He knows they'll shut him down.
I hear that.
So he's being slick. He's being oblique and just slipping in the Duke of Tarzana.
It's really a throwaway thing. I don't know why you guys think it's so funny.
It would be a throwaway once. But now we've amassed Dr. Kevin, Professor Kevin, Master Kevin, the Honorable Kevin,
yeah.
Kevin the Great,
Kevin the Great.
And the Duke of Tarzana.
Queen
of
course, Kevin.
The Duke of Tarzana. Now we think you have an effing problem.
Yeah.
Well, but it's not a big problem. It's just me screwing around. That's all. I'm just having a little fun.
But I'm just trying to understand where's the motivation behind this that you're continuing on along these lines.
I'm hoping today to get a package, either today or tomorrow, that is addressed to Kevin Schmevin Bobevin.
I like it.
Thank you. Lisa likes it.
I do.
What is going on in your life?
Like tons of stuff. It gets boring just putting in your own name after a while.
You're not cracking up the mail.
I bet he is.
Yes. I have a package for Kevin Schmevin, Bo Bevin.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I got a phone call to back me up here.
Okay.
You do call bars and say, is Richard Hurts there?
Sometimes.
Can I get Michael Hunt on the phone, please?
Sometimes. Saul, good morning.
Yes.
Help me out here.
I put the Earl of Encino on packages, I guess.
See? I'm not the only one.
Well, I just want to get the maybe the mailman will say something to me or think I'm, I don't know, maybe think I'm medieval royalty.
Is that it,
possibly.
Kevin, you're desperate for some conversations. You're hoping the mailman will ask you something.
To get the mailman to talk to me.
And luckily, since you have no recall whatsoever, you laugh twice because when the package comes, you're totally surprised that someone was sending you a package with that name on it.
Wait till the first time Kevin returns it, sends it back. There's no Duke of Tarzana here.
This isn't for me.
I sent this to the wrong address.
Come on, guys. Come on.
All right, Duke.
You guys are with me.
Well, Duke, I think you got a nickname now. You're going to live down.
Yes, he does.
Bean was out a couple of days last week and did not hear the magic that was Doto.
Yeah, you guys tell me there's some big news from the Doto camp.
There's just some interesting history on Doto's part.
For some reason, he called last week, the Afro line, and he wanted to share three things about his childhood with us. And they were insane. He was talking about like getting his dad in a fight and how he was hyperactive. His dad used to have to tie him down. I mean, it was good stuff.
Pretty serious, huh?
And we were trying to find the call to replay for Bean, and he hasn't heard it yet, but so we're just going to have to go to the horse's mouth and just talk to Doto and find out.
Doto is a K-Rock listener that we've known for a couple of years now. He's most notable about him is he's got an effed up eye, and he also has, I think he's still hyperactive.
Oh, yeah. Well, no question.
No, not at all.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. How you doing?
We're good, Doto.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Doto, could you ratchet it down just a notch or two? It's early.
My parents are both in Vietnam to February.
We're coming over.
Seriously, I swear
to God, not today.
Let's have a party at Doto's.
Next month, my friend Caesar and I, we're going to the Middle East. We're going to a place called Qatar because my friend Caesar, we're going for a hockey tournament. He has a hockey company
in Qatar.
In Qatar, Kevin. I might be going next month to Qatar. That's 200 miles from Iraq.
Good, nice. That's a good move.
What is my state of mind in Qatar, Kevin? How would I handle Qatar?
You'd be dead. So don't worry about it. Do you know what they do to people with effed up eyes there?
Yeah, what do they do, Kevin Bean?
I'm just kidding.
It's not going to be good.
A lot of hockey in the desert, too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Qatar's it's a hockey power.
Oh, you can't sell enough equipment there.
Kids, man, when they grow up in that dust and that dirt, they just play hockey.
When that sand freezes over, they strap on the skates, man. You can't keep them off of it.
Now, wait, didn't Qatar just win the Olympic gold in hockey? Oh, no, wait, that was Canada.
That was Canada, Kevin Bean.
Yeah.
Because I might be going to Qatar with my friend Caesar because he's going for hockey.
Right, you just
that's what we got.
Yeah, we got it.
If you want our advice, we would say don't go there.
Am I crazy? if I go to Qatar?
No, I would say go there and just run towards the Iraqi border as fast as you can, doing that weird woo thing you do.
Hey, that'd be great. We could have our own reporter inside Iraq.
Be at the edge of war.
Yeah,
he would be.
Hey, I just came back from Shanghai, Kevin Bean.
Boy, your arm's tired.
What the hell is going on?
He travels the world.
Don't tell. I don't want to get off topic here, Doto, because we can. We really have to kind of corral you in a little bit.
Why? What are you laughing at? To not want to get off topic with Doto. He just came back from Shanghai for a week.
I understand, but I thought maybe if we could talk to him about what we called him about, then we could save the other stuff for next time. Because otherwise, we'll just
Kevin Bean.
We'll get backlogged. Now, tell us about the Afro call that you made to 323-520 Afro last week, and for some reason, you wanted to tell us some stories about your childhood. What was that all about?
Kevin Bean, can I go? Can I go ahead and start?
Well, yeah. Well,
wait a minute. Wait. Don't start yet. Okay, now.
Good. Nice job. Now, Doto. Here's the thing. Bean didn't hear it, and we were trying to recap what you said, and it's really pretty impossible to do that. So you mentioned three things. Tell us what one of the three was, and then stop.
Okay, the first was when I was a kid, right, Kevin Bean?
Right. Yeah, we got that part.
From Vietnam on the boat to Hong Kong. My old man tied me up on the rope because I almost jumped off. I was so freaking hyperactive, Kevin Bean.
He was hyperactive. He wanted to jump off the boat. So his dad had to tie him down.
Off the boat, so my father has to tie me on a rope, Kevin Bean.
Yeah, we got that. You said it.
Well, that was probably a good move because he was probably fearful for your safety. I think it's good that he did that.
But even kids that are hyperactive, why do they want to jump off the boat?
Kevin Bean, so do you think I was abused, Kevin Bean?
No.
No, you're just effed up.
No, you're lucky to have a dad that tied you down. You'd be dead.
Did your dad listen to a lot of albums by the band The Who?
No, my dad listened to a lot of French music in Vietnam because Vietnam was conquered by the French for many years.
See, that'll
then
do it.
You're fine.
Then you're all right. Story number two, Doto.
And number two is when we were living in New York, Kevin Bean. Every time when my dad takes me home and I keep on yelling and screaming, and then he keeps on taking me to the mall, Kevin Bean, to calm me down.
Right, wait a minute. He's taking you home from what, school?
From my daycare center, and then every time I keep on yelling and screaming, and then I keep on running around, and he has to control me by taking me to the mall.
How does he control you by taking you to the mall?
Nothing settles a kid down like the mall, Kevin.
Stuff every day, Kevin Bean, like new clothes and new, like, because when I was a kid, I loved train, Kevin Bean.
Oh, so he'd buy you stuff to shut you up.
Yeah, Kevin Bean.
I got it. Good move. Hey, are you were you then, and are you now on any kind of medicine to combat the hyperactivity?
Well, when I was a kid, Kevin Bean, I was on Ritalin, Kevin Bean.
Yeah, and
Ritalin. Okay,
what about now?
I don't need to take any medication because I know
that. Yeah,
you don't be the judge of that, my friend.
Hey, don't tell you might want to reconsider that. All right, now tell Bean story number three.
Story number three is every time when I was in Oakland, Kevin Bean. I remember when I was young, I kept on. Like, I remember one time I was walking in the lake, Kevin Bean. I was walking with my parents at 7 o'clock at night. I was yelling and screaming, and then I fell down in the lake, Kevin Bean, and my father had to jump in there to save me, Kevin Bean.
That wasn't story three.
Yeah, it is story three.
No, it wasn't.
We heard the stories.
Didn't you tell us something about, and I couldn't even figure out for the life of me why you would do this, but you were yelling at black people?
You know, I was yelling at this was in New York. No, no, this was in San Francisco, and I was yelling at them, and then my father had to go around the downtown and chase me and just shut me up, Kevin Bean, because these people were looking at my dad like, what kind of dad is he? And then I remember one time.
But Doto, why were you running around San Francisco yelling at black people?
Because I didn't think, Kevin Bean.
You didn't think?
What? But how does that ever even occur to you as something to do, though, I think is what we're trying to get to. Why? What was your problem with black people in San Francisco?
Rap music.
Oh, you hate rap music.
I love rap music. Rap music made me very excited, Kevin Bean.
You love rap music.
Yeah.
And all black people were playing rap music?
They were playing rap music while I was eating a hot dog.
Right, but you love rap music, so...
See, Bean? See the magic?
I'm getting a headache.
Why would you yell at them and say the N-word?
Guys,
I was a young guy. I didn't know any better, Kevin Bean.
Well, it doesn't matter if you're a young guy. It's never occurred to me to yell that at a black person, and then I had to go, no, that's not a good idea. Yes, lady.
Hey, guys, his dad is racist.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Big time.
Oh, so he learned it at home, you're saying?
That's correct.
Doto. Is that true, Doto?
Nope.
Doto.
No stutter there.
Yeah. When you lie, you straighten up pretty good.
He's sharp as a tack all of a sudden. Is your dad a racist guy?
Well, when he was my, well, not really, Kevin, but he's getting better at that, Kevin Bean.
So, yeah.
So he was, at least at one time.
At one time, yes. But not anymore, Kevin Bean.
Was he racist against black people, white people, everybody except for your people, or who?
He was mainly racist against everybody, Kevin Bean.
Oh, I see. Just mainly everybody.
Mainly everybody.
Just mainly everyone.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I thought he could be, you know, just pro-Vietnamese, period, you know, or something, I thought. Maybe.
All right. Well, Doto, we just kind of wanted to get an update on that because we, you know, we had questions.
Thanks, Kevin Bean.
Okay. All right, Doto.
You're welcome.
Bean, explain to us the picture that you have on your wall, and don't exaggerate a bit.
Well, I brought it it in so I could show it
excellent.
To you.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah. Fantastic. We're going to need to...
Because this is, you talk about a picture's worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
Why?
Holy crap.
Really?
Okay, here's the deal. It's O.J. Simpson, and he's got a towel. Looks like he's just getting out of the shower. He's drying off his left ear.
Uh-huh. Big afro, big smile.
Big afro.
Big thingy, now that you mention it.
And it's just hanging there.
That's down to like mid-thigh.
He has a naked picture of O.J. Simpson.
This picture was taken in 1972 at Shea Stadium. I guess he would have already been playing with the Bills by then, right? Playing in New York. And, that's what it was taken by a famous photographer named Harry Benson, who's most famous for photographing the Beatles on their first tour of the United States. He did a lot of celebrity photo work back in the 60s.
Right, but that's not the point.
Curious more why I own it?
You own it.
You would take. You'd see that picture and say, yes, I need to have this nude photo of O.J. and his schwanz hanging on my wall.
You own the picture and you hang it on your wall.
This is photo 6 of 35. They made 35 copies of this picture.
Don't care.
By the way.
I don't want to know what the other 34, where they are. I just want to know about that one.
Tell me that you guys wouldn't see a naked picture of O.J. Simpson and think, I have to own it.
Not in 100 million years.
I would laugh.
Doesn't strike you as funny?
Yeah, I would laugh. But would I hang it in my house?
Dude.
No.
You better look again, because I don't think you really are realizing how great that picture is.
You see, here's the thing. Here's the exact thing we're talking about. Looking once for me? More than enough. Got it.
Uh-huh.
Seen it. Moving on now. Not buying it, hanging on my wall to see it over and over and over again.
Smiling
to drool at the black penis.
With a big old afro?
If that's what's so funny, then frame it from the waist up.
No, but it's funny that he looks so, like, he just looks so jolly, and he's standing there just butt naked,
well,
bare ass.
You know,
that's
in the locker rooms of sports, guys walk around naked. It's not, you know, it's not uncommon to see them laughing and joking coming out of the shower.
Right, of course.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What is uncommon is for a reportedly heterosexual man to hang up a giant portrait of a stark nude black man in his house and say, oh, it's just for the comedy.
But it is for the comedy. Because
nobody comes to your house.
No, there's nothing sexy about this picture to be at
not
all.
Not to me,
just,
no.
Not it's to us, just, but...
If it were not O.J. Simpson, I mean, there are a few other black people that I would have bought the same photo. If it had been Emmanuel Lewis, I would have bought it. You know, Gary Coleman, I would have bought it. But it's not that...
Dude, those guys
I think
are underage. That's not cool.
It's not that I got it because I think he's attractive or anything like that. It's the fact that it's O.J. Simpson that cracks me up, that he's standing there with his big afro and his
little afro. All right, hold it up again so Money can see it.
Money just came into
the studio, yeah. So.
All right.
I'd hang that in my house.
You would?
Absolutely. Thank you, Money.
Well, would that make you laugh? Heisman.
Would that make you laugh every single time you walked by it, though?
He's a sports legend.
Yeah.
2,000 yards in a season for the Buffalo Bills.
But that doesn't mean I want to see his penis.
Hang up his jersey, then.
I don't know. That's more of a keepsake right there. You get the whole thing, you know?
But I don't want
the whole thing.
You put a jersey on the wall, it's just another jersey. Yeah, he's got another signed jersey. You put that on the wall. Talk about breaking the ice.
With whom? With whom are you breaking the ice?
Anybody that walks into the house.
No one walks into his house.
Well, now that's the problem.
He's not doing it for the comedy. See, Money's different. Money would do it so that people would walk by and glance at it and go, oh, my God. And the reaction that he would get out of people is why he would do it. But there's no one in your house but you.
I have to entertain myself, and I think it's funny.
How many times have you entertained yourself looking at that picture?
That's
what I want to know.
That's the question right there.
I just mean it cracks me up when I think about the fact that there's a giant nude portrait of O.J. Simpson in my house. It's just funny. It just cracks me up.
But on the creepy scale, it goes way past funny.
Yeah. Really? Because I don't see it. There's nothing creepy about this to me because I don't look at it sexually at all. To me, it's just pure comedy because it's O.J.
Then why don't you just get a big oil painting of O.J.'s smiling face? Or something, if that's what it's about. If it's not about the penis, why is it there?
That's what makes this photo so funny. This photo isn't funny if it's just him from the waist up.
What makes it funny, though, is the whole package. Money, you understand what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
well, I think it's one of those things that somebody looks at and goes, is that the juice? And you're like, yeah, that's the juice. A naked juice? Yep, right. That's it.
But again, you're back to the reaction from other people.
Right.
Bean's looking at this alone every day in his house.
He's the only one that sees it.
I feel I'm caught in a conundrum here.
If you were living by yourself and you were guaranteed no one was ever going to see that picture, would you hang it up in your
house?
That'd
be a little weird.
Yeah.
Hang on a second. We got somebody at the door. Let's... find out who's in the neighborhood.
That's not not our thing. That's Big Boy.
Oh.
Hello?
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
OJ?
I can't believe Bean's got a picture of me on his wall.
That's what I'm talking about. It's pretty cool, huh?
I got to say I'm flattered because most of the white guys who like to look at my big penis, mm-hmm. they're like scary old dudes and stuff, you know?
Right.
But here's a nice young man loving looking at my penis, and I'm a Jew.
But I don't want you to misunderstand, OJ. It's just that I think it's funny that there's this big naked picture of you. That's
sure,
all.
Sure, buddy. Wink, wink. I'll be on your side. I have nothing against the homosexual community whatsoever.
OJ, do you get a lot of love from the homosexual community?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, it's kind of well known that I have kind of a large penis.
Right.
So a lot of guys come up and say, well, I'm just super excited about your large penis.
I bet they do.
I bet it's fantastic.
I bet they do. Well, OJ, I'll send you a naked picture of me if you want to hang that on your wall.
You know, here's the thing. I'm a juice,
yeah.
But I'm not gay.
Okay, good.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ.
On the cover of Time magazine, what scares you? Don't be afraid to read about promising new cures for hundreds of phobias. And it just goes into a list of phobias that people have. People are afraid of everything. And we'd like really the funnier ones, if you don't mind, if you're going to call. We'd like it to be, you know, fear of running water or something that we can just go, what?
Name of that girl who, the duct tape girl?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
She was such a great example.
Jacqueline, yeah.
Jacqueline.
She was afraid that spiders would go in her orifices.
Mouth or her ears at night, so she taped up everything.
Yep.
Well, there are so many fears. I mean, most of us know of a few. I mean, it's extremely common to be afraid of flying. It's extremely common to be afraid of heights or to be, you know, there are lots of things that many of us share. A lot of people are afraid of snakes or spiders or whatever. But then you start getting into, you know, people who have a fear of the figure eight. And you go, well, how does something like that get started? And what happens when you tune into CBS every weekend and all they're doing is having ice skating? What do you do then? There is a pagophobia, the fear of ice. Now, what happens if you have a fear of ice? Can you not open your freezer? Do you have to, every time you go to a restaurant, do you have to ask for your drink with no ice? I mean, it's weird. A fear of Halloween, a fear of the moon. What would you do with a fear of the moon?
Maybe hide when it comes out. You know,
I mean, unless you're a werewolf, where does something like, I mean, you think the moon's going to fall on you, that it has a space ray and it's going to get you? I mean, where does something like that even develop, I wonder?
I don't know, it's funny, but they have names pretty much for every single one of these fears, and we are creatures that somehow, pretty much every one of us has some kind of a fear, and the Time magazine article goes into, for example, if you have the fear of flying, they can actually help you get over that fear of flying. They have a treatment for this. It's called Exposure Airlines. It's the newest thing in phobic therapy, a virtual airplane of hardware, software, and fancy head-mounted display. Mm-hmm. So you put on these glasses, these goggles, and you're on an airplane. And they can simulate, like, a storm.
Do they just keep crashing until you don't care
pretty
anymore?
Pretty much.
Is that it?
Pretty much. And they talk to you in the earphones. They say, you know, how scared are you right now? Are you going crazy? Are you just a little bit afraid? And they can actually work through that so that you're not afraid of being on an airplane.
That's great.
Here's one, Kevin, I don't think you have to worry about. It's called ponophobia. It's the fear of overworking. Now, this is people who sometimes show up 4 or 5 days in a week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, really? I know. You can't imagine what that's like.
That's crazy.
Scatophobia is the fear of poo. Now, if you have that.
I wouldn't say I'm afraid of, but I'd like to stay away from if I could.
Well, yeah, do you, like, run from the toilet 100 miles an hour afterwards?
No, generally don't do that, no.
Get it off me, get it off.
Venustrophobia. Venustrophobia is the fear of beautiful women.
Oh, that's crazy. That's gay. That's what that is.
No,
right,
that's
there.
You know, that's nerdy guys. It's their palms sweat and they can't focus when they're around a beautiful woman.
Yeah,
probably
they get super nervous because they're afraid that they're going to
stutter,
say something wrong, or whatever that is. Yeah.
I would imagine.
Xanthophobia is the fear of the color yellow.
That's crazy.
So you can never watch ABC television.
Isn't it funny that some people just focus on one thing? I have a quiz
in the Time magazine to know if you have a phobia or if it's just a fear versus a phobia. This is an actual full-blown phobia.
Yeah, well, now what the difference, I guess, would be a phobia would be a fear that affects your life negatively. It makes it impossible for you to live normally.
Yeah, make changes because of it.
If you answer yes to a couple of these, you have a phobia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here you go. Have a. Do you have a persistent and excessive fear of an object or situation such as flying heights, animals, blood, or being in public place from which there is no escape? Do you experience symptoms including pounding heart, trembling, shortness of breath, lightheadedness, weak knees, dry mouth, feelings of unreality, feelings that you may go crazy or die when you think of or encounter the object or situation you fear? Do you have an excessive and ongoing fear of social situations, such as going to the mall, the movies, or a restaurant? Do you fear that you...
Bean's mom, by the way, that's a pretty common fear, agoraphobia. Yeah, she's much better now, but for many years she had agoraphobia, which makes you not want to leave your house.
Do you fear that you will be judged or will humiliate yourself socially? I do that, and I'm not afraid of it. It's okay.
You embrace
you
the failure,
you
kind of
had
though.
To get over it, didn't you?
Embrace failure, that's what I say. Do you fear traveling without a companion? Do you fear that people will notice that you are blushing, sweating, trembling, or showing other signs of anxiety? Do you take elaborate, excessive steps to avoid the object or situation that you fear? And finally, do you find that the fears or your reactions to them have interfered with your ability to function at home, professionally, or socially? And if you answer the yes to a couple of those, then you have a phobia that needs to be dealt with. So
I don't think I have any phobias.
Your wife does. Your wife's afraid of what's his name?
Mr. Rogers. My wife is afraid of Mr. Rogers.
You know, I think I had something weird shopping for a while. I used to go shopping and I would break out in a sweat and get very nervous, and I couldn't make up my mind what I wanted to try on or buy. I couldn't remember anything I owned, and I would finally just leave.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. I got tracked by a store detective once, I think, because I was acting so nervous. They thought I was, like, trying to steal.
Cool.
He practically chased me out of the store.
You mean you would walk into a store and get confused what you have?
I couldn't remember anything in my closet. I couldn't... I don't know what it was. But
you're
it just
retarded.
I know.
That's cool.
No. I'm the worst.
Lisa's retarded.
No, come on. Retarded.
How did you get over it? I don't know. It just... I think I lost weight.
Oh, really?
And now I like to shop.
Wow.
Maybe I was afraid nothing would look good.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's say good morning to Maddie in Glendale. Hello.
What up, guys?
How you doing? You have a friend that's afraid of what?
Isn't that crazy? She's afraid of swallowing. It's called phagophobia.
She's afraid of swallowing.
Dude, I dated her. I totally dated her.
No.
Oh, you're talking about food.
Yeah, just regular swallowing.
I see.
Yeah. So you mean like when she eats, she starts sweating and she gets afraid?
Well, when it comes to meat, when she eats meat, if you go out with her for food, she takes forever to chew her meat.
That's weird. Bizarre. Did she ever have, something happen to her where she almost choked or something like that?
Nothing she can recall.
Wow. Cut her loose.
So embarrassing.
Cut her loose, Maddie. Cut her loose as a friend. That's what I'm telling you.
Before she drags you down into her world of psychosis.
Right. Thank you, Maddie.
I am hearing increasingly from K-Rock listeners who have something called godheadophobia, and what it is you can't turn on K-Rock on Sunday nights. It wigs you out.
Let's say good morning to Tammy in Van Nuys. Hello.
Hi.
You're afraid of the vacuum cleaner.
Yes. I have a bad fear of vacuuming.
Really?
Yeah. You don't just say that to get out of vacuuming, do you?
No.
I have twin daughters that are almost three, and one of my twins hates the vacuum. No, don't turn on the vacuum.
No, my mom used to scare me. Like, as a child, when she vacuumed in the house, it used to freak me out. I used to hide in the bathroom.
Because you were afraid that it was a big bad thing that was going to hurt you?
I don't know. It's the noise that scares me. Like, when I personally vacuum, I'm scared somebody's going to come up behind me, or it just scares me because I can't hear.
How does this make you feel?
I don't like it.
Thank you, Annika.
All over Dad.
Disc jockey kills woman. Nicole, hello.
Hello.
What are you afraid of?
I have a certain word that every time I hear it, I see it, I freak out. And I have to put my boyfriend on to say it because I cannot say it. Hold on one sec.
She's gonna put what word is she afraid of?
If you say the word, cover your ears, honey. Moist.
Moist? M-O-I-S-T? Moist?
Yes, it's the weirdest thing.
Why is
that?
You
just need to get some sort of personal lubricant. That'll take care of that.
I have no idea, but like the word moisture only affects her maybe 80%. And she has friends that either can't wait to say it around her or that just know she hates it and says other words.
The word moist?
Yes.
That's the strangest.
If you could every morning just maybe say the word maybe three or four times.
Oh, we will. Trust me. From now on, we'll throw in moist. Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye now. All right. And finally, since she's probably listening again, moist. Andy in Ontario, hello.
Hello.
Hi there. What are you afraid of?
Midgets.
Midgets? Yeah. Midgets are the greatest thing in the world.
That's like being afraid of ice cream.
No, you know those. You know the ones that it's not a dwarf. I.
There's a difference, right? There's a difference between a midget and a dwarf.
Right. It's the ones that have the deformed body.
You, well, that's the dwarf.
What do
that's
you think? What do you think is? What do you think they're going to hurt you or something?
Yeah, I used to have this this reoccurring dream. I still occasionally have it, but when I was a kid, I had it really bad. That
like they were going to crawl up in you or something?
No, I was.
Well, because they're so tiny, you know, you don't know where they are.
No, even Andy, who's afraid of them, never thought of that.
No, I'd be laying in bed. And they just kind of peek up over the edge of my bed, and I try to lay in bed real flat.
Oh, I'm just the opposite. I love midgets. I wish they'd peek over the bed. I love them.
If Kevin could wake up in the morning and there'd be like 30 midgets in his house, he'd be happy.
That'd be so great. All right. Thank you, Andy. By the way, I've been, because of the twins, I watch Snow White a lot, and it occurs to me that the Disney was fascinated with the Seven Dwarfs. I love that.
I hear Disney killed Billy Barty last year, too.
Oh, and by the way, Moist.
Moist.
The I guess it's the Michigan Lawsuit Abuse Watch group that's called MLaw has come up with their wacky labels, their wacky warning labels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess because people will sue for anything. Someone will use a product in a way that it was not intended, and then somehow the company is to blame because you're an idiot. I guess right. The companies are now more and more having to put crazy things on warning labels, and this group is the one that keeps track of those, and we thought, well, new year. Let's find out what they're talking about. Clark Brainerd is on the line right now from the Michigan Lawsuit Abuse Watch. Good morning, Mr. Brainerd. Thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
So do we have that right? It's just companies that are trying to cover their own asses because of stupid things that we consumers do with their products, right?
Absolutely. This is our 10th year at MLaw, and we have collected warning labels, actual warning labels on actual products that have all been the result of frivolous lawsuits. These right. are people who have misused the products, then taken the manufacturers to task in a court of law, and by necessity, these manufacturers have had to label these products in order to avoid any such further lawsuits.
Well, is it true, or did I just hear this wrong on the radio, that somebody you actually had to see a warning label that said, don't try to dry your phone in a microwave oven because that's something that somebody decided would be a smart idea?
Is it currently a warning label featured on a cell phone? Apparently someone did try to dry a wet cell phone in their microwave, and it destroyed the phone and the microwave, yes.
Hopefully the person, too.
Sadly, that person is still among us. But, yeah.
That's too bad.
What else used to is? These were pretty common. You'd see warning labels similar to caution, contents are hot.
Right.
You know, with the McDonald's fruit pies or the cup of coffee.
Right.
Uh-huh. They've gotten increasingly more ridiculous as time has gone by. And this is our 10th year. This is the most ridiculous group yet.
Really? Wow.
What caught the attention at MLaw this year?
Well, you probably heard the story. Everyone's been talking about the fact that the winner this year was the warning label on a front-loading washing machine that said, do not put any person in this washer.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that was the winner this year. But there were several that did not make the top 10, I think, are just as ludicrous that have never seen the light of day. I'd like to talk to you about those.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Apparently now on a can of Fix-A-Flat that you find in any automotive store,
right.
That carries the label now not to be used for breast augmentation. Apparently a young lady thought she'd save some money on plastic surgery, and the results were catastrophic.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Doesn't sound good.
Currently now in a roll of Lifesavers candy, you will find not for use as a flotation device.
Okay,
well, that makes sense.
Someone threw a roll of butterscotch Lifesavers to a drowning victim in a pool and did not work as well.
Grab a hold of this and hold on!
It's a Lifesaver, grab it.
Yeah.
On the refrigerators now, you'll see on the back of your refrigerator it says refrigerate after opening.
Sure.
Yeah. I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Blenders these days carry the warning label not for use as an aquarium.
Yeah, well, I can see that.
Yeah, sure. that was a bad one. That turned out poorly.
Could be ugly.
Currently, every U.S. manufactured SUV currently carries the label harmful or fatal if swallowed.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, someone tried to swallow an SUV?
Yeah, a guy named Ted. I don't know what that means.
Really? But, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Currently, cheese graters carry the label not for use to shave genitals.
Oh, no.
Oh, now you tell me, Clark. Now you tell me.
Oh.
Ziploc bags. To currently carry the warning label not to use to keep your baby fresh.
Oh.
Seriously, Clark.
Clark.
Yeah, that's. I'm sorry.
Sounds like
I'm
you're laughing.
It sounded like you were
chuckling.
No. I don't know what I was thinking on that.
That's serious business.
That's right? Not funny.
Rosie O'Donnell carries the label currently, Do Not Watch on a Full Stomach.
Okay.
Oh, I can see that.
And, good advice.
And Lindsay Lohan, also a celebrity carrying the Warner label, Do Not Use Near Open Flame.
Well, for obvious reasons.
Apparently a guy was banging her near a candle, and now he has skin grafts over 95% of his body.
Oh, wow, that's ugly.
Firecrotch just kind of blew up.
Wow. Amen Bean has a lot of interests, wide-ranging interests, and spends a lot of time reading. He reads every newspaper, every magazine. If it's in print, he's read it. Every book. He's read every single book in the world.
That's not true.
And but it doesn't matter what we're talking about. If somebody comes in and say, I saw the coolest thing yesterday, Bean will go, yeah, I read about it a month ago. We thought that would stop when he got to his blog because there's a tremendous amount of that kind of crap that goes into his blog.
Right.
But it hasn't slowed down thanks for that info, Bean.
Not one little bit.
Not even just a little bit. So it's time to do that again.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
But, guys, who wants to work with somebody who's got nothing to offer the conversation? There's nothing more boring than trying to pull teeth to talk to somebody.
Right. Here's what you're missing, though, Bean. There's no conversation going on at this point. We're not having a conversation. No one is speaking. Now, when we're on the air and we're having a conversation, you add to it nicely. I don't have any problems with that. But when there's no speaking and you say something like, you know, Queen Elizabeth sent her first email over 30 years ago.
What are we supposed to do with that? How are we supposed to have a conversation? What is it you think one of us is going to say?
I find that really interesting.
And then that's it. It's a dead end.
But
There's nothing to say about that.
But not everything that you bring up has to turn into a one-hour conversation.
Right.
But
How about a one-minute conversation?
It is kind of interesting that she said...
No, but what it's not.
It really isn't.
There's nothing interesting about it.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
We also try to burn people with the food we're eating. I wrote these down verbatim, by the way. I sit in the corner and I listen.
And weep.
And when Bean says stuff like this, I write it down word for word. So every one of these he has said word for word. I guess not everyone is eating frosted wheat puffs.
Well,
thanks for that info, Bean.
Duh.
Frosted wheat puffs are great, though, and I had them and you didn't, and that was the point of that.
Bean makes a lot of errors where he goes against the blog rules. There are blog rules.
I don't know if you're aware of this or not.
But I'm not even aware of those, and I have a blog. If you write a blog, let's say that you have a blog and you enter stuff into it every day, you can't reference that as something you read. Because you didn't read it, you wrote it.
Somehow giving it more authority?
Yes. I was reading in my blog today, and no, you can't say that.
Really?
I wrote down 5 times you've said that in the last probably 3 weeks.
Bean, you could say, I wrote in my blog, blah, blah, blah.
For example.
I read in my blog.
For example, Bean said, I'm writing in my blog about the peanut butter in my Peanut Butter of the Month Club.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Psycho Mike generously signed me up for the Peanut Butter and Jelly Club of the Month, and
this just strikes me as someone who says some sort of leading statement, hoping someone will grab the bait.
Doc! No!
Now we're supposed to
Doc!
Go, oh, Bean, really? Peanut Butter of the Month?
Doc has
what
the
kind
same...
of peanut butter do you have?
Doc has the same kind of conversation skills, so he'll come into the office and say, hey, Peanut Butter of the Month Club is great. And then we all sit there, no one says anything, and he waits. So finally somebody says... All right, tell us about it.
Exactly. That's you, Bean.
Same thing.
But I love peanut butter, okay? And I thought maybe you were peanut butter enthusiasts also, and you would be interested in discussing all the various types of peanut butter that exist. Like, this month's Peanut Butter of the Month Club is Thai ginger and red pepper peanut
Thanks
butter.
That's that info, Bean.
Now, yes, that to me is interesting. Yes, Mike.
You know what it is.
You signed them up for this. You don't care.
I know. The Peanut Butter and Jelly of the Month Club is great. But you know what it is? You know how the hot chick or the really thin chick with a great body will come into a room and nobody's even addressing her and she'll say, "Ugh, I feel so fat today." And she's just essentially waiting for someone to go and go, "No, well, you look fantastic."
Right.
Well, what being not having a good physique or good looks, but what he does have to offer is a robust intellect.
So he does that mentally.
So what he does is he offers this up so that we can all go, "Wow, how thought-provoking you are, Bean. Amazing.
Talk on the rock.
I've never said how thought-provoking are you,
Bean. And I understand the theory. I understand where you're coming from. That's not the case at all. I just love peanut butter and would like people to be that I could talk to peanut about with peanut butter. That's
right.
All.
You need different people. Now, not only does he make statements, he also asks questions that are unanswerable. Why are naked mole rats the best animal?
Well, now, naked mole rats are awesome.
You info bean.
And you know it.
I actually wrote this down word for word. I'm eating special dark chocolate right now.
Okay, ew.
What exactly is that supposed
and then
to mean
more
to us?
Ew.
And I hope it's not a euphemism.
I have two ducks. One is named Manny Moe, and the other is Jack.
Thanks for that info bean.
The fastest centipede can move 20 inches per second.
Could have gone my whole life without knowing
that. The average embalming takes 2 hours.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Why would we care about that?
Because there's going to be a time, Lisa, where you're locked in a cabin or something with a killer centipede, and you're going to have to calculate how much time you've got to free yourself from the ropes.
That is probable.
Could happen.
That is probable, to free yourself from the ropes.
From the centipede that's marauding.
Day when I'm going to have to embalm someone, and I have to plan when I'm going to have my dinner. So how long does it take?
As you know, Bean is obsessed with Pluto. Even though Pluto is smaller than our moon, it's still way cooler.
And that's true, by the way, because
that's
Pluto might...
We're not looking for some kind of an expanding on these thoughts. Yeah. We're just reading them out so the listener gets burned like we do.
Pluto is
Don't
A,
care.
The biggest little planet,
Don't
and
care.
B, although it's furthest from the sun, it's closer to heaven.
Oh, my God. I'm going to heat up some chicken, cheese, pineapple, and ranch dressing pizza.
He eats the weirdest food.
I've decided I like power bars. These are things that he has actually said during the song.
Once again, Bean, what are we supposed to do with that?
This day is a great day for me. Barry Manilow is on Ellen and Martha. Then no one said anything. And then Bean said, why is Barry Manilow so good?
And then no one said anything.
And then
we all just left the room.
Any questions that can't be answered category? Why are pot pies so good? Why do I love Carolyn DeVarnus so much?
Oh, well, she was the chick from Wonderfalls. Come on.
I know who that is.
Come on, the chick from Wonderfalls.
And I think this is my favorite because it's such a unique distinction, a tiny little minute distinction. Bean actually, out of the blue when no one was talking, said, I like jelly very much, but not jam.
I recall that moment.
He likes jelly very much.
I do.
Doesn't care for jam at all.
I started looking for a razor. Right then.
All right, look. When you phrase it that way, though, Kevin, when you lump it all together, it makes it sound like I'm some sort of a traveling freak show here.
You think?
But that, with that information...
This is stuff I wrote down verbatim when you said them.
But it's spread out over 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, 3 or 4 days. That's true.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Are you purposely trying to be a jackass today?
No,
are you going
I don't,
over
I'm
the
not,
top?
I just, I'm just,
you
I'm
look
overwhelmed.
Like you have it out for her. Why do you have it
no,
out for her?
No, I don't have
do
it out for her. Because I don't understand how an adult that has as much experience as she does with all of this can't walk from her car into the building without help. That's
don't
all
worry
I'm saying.
About it. That's the way she wants it. That's all
no,
she can.
Looking forward to spending a little time with the lovely Kim. And she seemed very nice. We got a chance to meet her in the studio, and then she had to leave again. So.
She'll come in. Just put well, down man. The axe. That's all I'm saying.
No, it's not like that.
Stop sharpening it on the wheel.
Oh, just... very nice. Very nice.
What's happening? Is she coming in?
Anna's here, and her lawyer Howard's here.
She said she didn't want to sit
oh,
next
there's
to the
Howard.
Mean one.
She doesn't want
to
sit next
to the mean one. The mean one we keep on in another state, Anna, so you don't have to sit next to him. He's up on that TV screen up there.
I'm listening to y'all this morning.
Oh, no. Hi, Anna. How are you? Good morning.
Thanks. Hang on. She's still putting on,
she's putting on her headphones.
Ralph, make sure she knows how those work.
I thought I was going to have a good time.
No, you're going to have a great time.
See, yeah, Bean? Right. This is why you're bad.
Look, who loves the show more than I do?
I'm angry at you.
I love the show. I'm obsessed with the show, as we all are. Anna, we're delighted to have you. Thank you for coming in.
See, she hates
you. Wait a minute. Let's get into it then. What is it that you heard specifically that angered you?
Well, y'all talking about me this morning. Like, I'm not going to be listening to the radio.
Bean.
I didn't think you could work a radio. I didn't know. I'm just teasing about that. Anna, what is it we said that upset you, though? Did we say anything? I mean, did we say anything that wasn't true?
Or
did we say anything that wasn't true?
Yeah, you said things that weren't true.
Okay, like
I can
like
think
what?
For myself. My lawyer doesn't think for me.
Okay,
he doesn't sleep in my bed.
here's what we're referring to, and this is an outstanding time to talk about this. It seems unusual to us that a guy who we know of as an attorney is laying in your bed with lipstick all over his face, rubbing your belly button on a television show. That's not what most of us think about for legal counsel. We're just trying to understand the relationship.
He's also my best friend. He's not just a lawyer. He's my best friend.
Does he have any other clients?
Are you sure it wasn't Sugar Pie who was licking the belly button or rubbing the belly button? I don't think that was me.
Yeah, that was my dog who licked my belly button.
I saw that part, but I'm not that ugly.
No, no, you were laying on the bed next to her. That's when you made the comment about that's not what she smelled. Remember the part I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's where my dog licked my belly button, not Howard.
Right, and Howard, but Howard was in the bed at that time while the dog
was sitting beside me. So what?
Lawyers are people too. We can still be friends.
Can we start over? Can we start from the beginning where we should have started?
Before
Bean got on the air today. Would you mind if we just said, Anna Nicole Smith, welcome.
Hey, how about that?
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate
it.
We're happy to have you.
Thank you.
See, here's what's frustrating for us on the other side of the camera, Anna, is that we only see 22 minutes of what may be taped over several days. So it looks like Howard is always with you, when in reality, maybe 90% of the time he's off doing other things. But we don't see that. We only know what we get on the E Show.
So you have to talk bad about it?
No. Well, let's clear it up then. So how much time does Howard spend with you?
He spends a lot of time with me, but so what?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, think it's interesting for an attorney.
That's good enough.
Why does it have to be attorney? Why does it have to keep being attorney? Attorney.
So you don't think of him as your attorney. You think of him as your friend.
Okay. So that's more than just a professional relationship, is what they're saying, which is great. It's good that they're friends.
I'm not saying it's a sexual relationship. I'm saying
it's a friendship.
My best friend.
Okay.
That makes sense.
But you know, and, my hand is sore from grabbing onto her ankles.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah, but that wasn't funny. You got to
That was just a joke. All right. And how long has Kim been with you, and what does she do? And can you see how desperately in love with you she is?
Seeing as I can't think for myself, I'll let Kim answer that.
Kim, you want to answer
Kim,
that?
Kim, how long have you been working with Anna?
I've been her assistant for about 2 years.
2 years.
And what do you do in the role of her assistant?
I do all kinds of things, from running errands to shopping to taking Daniel to school, taking care of Sugar Pie to the groomer.
Is that Sugar Pie in the bag there?
Yes.
Anna, what do you think about all that has been said since the E! Show started 2 weeks ago? I mean, you already had a pretty high profile. You were well known. You'd been in a couple of high profile lawsuits and whatnot. And everybody knew you, obviously, from being a Playmate of the Year. But now you're on everybody's tongue right now. What do you think about the reaction to your show and to your life?
I think it's pretty funny that all people can talk about is Anna.
Well, that's kind of what you want, though, right? When you have a new TV show, it's kind of nice to get attention.
Funny good? Funny bad?
Funny good.
Yeah. One of the questions that people don't seem to be asking you is, are you on some type of a drug?
Or medication.
Medication of any kind.
No. Because
it sounds like it when you talk.
I know. I have a slang from Texas, and it's a lazy talk, and it just looks that way.
It does come and go. Like on the first show, I think it was, you slurred a lot and you just talked. And then they would cut to that scene where you're on the bench, and you seem much more lucid and sharp and...
Well, it's because when I'm doing an interview, I'm really focused, you know? But when I'm, not focused, I just...
In regular life.
I don't... watch my mouth, and I just, I got this lazy slang talk from Texas,
So it's just more laid back.
I'm just really laid back.
It wasn't always like that. I mean, I can't tell you how many countless hours I saw your Playmate video, for instance. And there wasn't a lot of talking on it, but you didn't sound anything like you do today.
Because
you haven't had a stroke or anything?
Because I was talking, knew that I was talking. It was like an acting job.
You were performing.
Yeah.
Okay, but right now, for instance, as we talk to you, if we didn't know you, we would say this sounds like a woman who is heavily sedated.
You think I'm sedated right now?
I'm saying that you sound that way. That's not the case. You're telling us that you're not.
Whatever. I mean, come on. Whatever.
Howard, you don't think so?
Not at all.
No,
not at all.
You're such a hateful man.
No.
No, wait a minute. Let me, and I don't do this often because Bean's a jackass.
Do I look like I'm on drugs?
No, but you sound, there are certain drugs, like if I were on, say, for example, Valium, a lot of it,
I would slow down and slur, and that's kind of the sound you have. That's not anything.
I have a Texas drawl.
That's not anything that's
like
meant
that
to be
look,
mean. That's
you know?
Just a.
Sorry, but I'm not on
observation.
President Bush is from Texas also. He doesn't sound anything like you. There are lots of people who are from Texas who don't. It's not just the accent is what I'm saying. But you say, and you know, I'll accept your word. Obviously, I'm not going to call you a liar. If you tell me you're not on anything, then I accept that.
I don't lie, and I'm not on anything.
Yeah, no medication. I'll tell you what, it almost sounds like she needs to be on drugs to come in here and talk with you guys.
I kind of want some now.
Anna, we can't be the first people who have wondered that watching the show, though. I mean,
you're not. But
that's how it appears.
I mean, you're sitting here right now, saying right now I'm even on drugs.
We're just asking. We're asking what other people are asking
got out
behind
of
your
bed,
back.
And I came here to be with y'all, thinking this was going to be a nice little talk show, and
it's not meant to be mean. This particular topic,
it's not.
It isn't.
Just
no, it's just a question.
Right now.
I swear to God, we're not. I swear to God,
you're calling me a f-ing druggie.
No, we're not. We're asking you if you're on painkillers, something. We don't know.
I mean, why are we still talking about it?
Do you feel that you have a good attitude?
I think I have a great attitude until I turned on the radio this morning.
And, you know, no one has promoted your show more than we have. We're huge fans of your show. We called E before the show debuted, Anna. You should know this. And we said, if you're only planning on putting that on a half-hour a week, you guys are making a big mistake. You've got to put that on 10 hours a week. Half an hour is not enough. That's how much we like the show. Please don't misunderstand.
I'm glad that y'all like the show, but, you know, you could like me a little bit also.
All right, let's take a break.
Anna will leave if we do that.
Let it be said before we go to break that she looks great for someone who just got out of bed, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
Her hair's all done and her makeup's done and you look great. You look good.
Thank you.
All right.
Will you leave if we take a break?
Yeah.
No, we don't want you to leave,
anywhere.
Anna.
Why? I want to keep pissing me off.
We don't want to piss you off at all. We want to get to know you. Look, all we know is what we see on the TV.
You're not even giving me a chance.
All right, let's give you a chance.
We're looking for the opportunity to get the real story right from you rather than just guessing based on watching the television show.
Well, you're guessing right now, saying I'm on drugs. So how do I even get an even
Anna,
fair
we
chance?
Didn't say it. We asked
didn't say
it.
You were on drugs. We said it could have been. You said I sounded like it.
Yes.
Well, yes, that's true.
We can say that without a mean spirit because you do. It's all right if the answer is no.
And if you're not, that's fine. Now we got it. We haven't brought it
but
up again.
But it doesn't
again.
Mean that we're y'all being suck. Jackasses.
Y'all suck.
She's Come right. On. You do kind of suck.
You do suck, man.
I'm just kidding.
I didn't come here to get all beat up
Anna,
on.
We're not beating
to
up. Listen.
My show.
Anna, listen. Listen.
For everybody out there, I'm promoting my show Sunday night, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, honey. You should watch it 10 times. Listen, here's what we...
So Anna, we said
you sound like you're on drugs. You said I'm not on anything. We said, fine, we haven't brought it up since then. We're moving on now to something else.
Please. Well, y'all keep talking. So you're still talking about
I'm just trying... Okay.
Let's let that one go. And we'll move on to other topics.
All right. Let me go.
All
right. Do you guys not want me to ask another question?
No, go ahead.
Okay. What happened, Anna, from the time that you were Playboy's Playmate of the Year, you were one of the most gorgeous women on the planet. What happened from that point to get from there to where you are today?
What do you mean?
For starters, you gained a lot of weight.
I didn't gain a lot of weight.
Now, is this one of these deals where I have to say it just looks that way on TV and you have to tell me that it's not true?
I've gained a little weight, but what are you trying to call me, Miss Porker now?
I hadn't planned on that. I could, but...
What do you mean, what happened to me? I'm still here. It's me.
Okay. From a Playboy Playmate of the Year, though, to where you are now, you look very different from you did back then. Did you get to a point where you didn't care about that sort of thing anymore? You stopped acting? You stopped modeling? You just kind of settled into a different groove and that wasn't appearance wasn't important to you?
I just wanted to be a hog, so I just started eating everything I could. I just wanted to be a big fat pig.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Hey, are you feeling better about yourself now?
I'm not trying. No, I'm trying.
I'm sitting here looking at you on the monitor, and I mean, it's like you got the smile on your face. You're getting in your punches.
You know, they're not supposed to be punches. We're just trying to have a conversation. But if we bring up anything that's negative, then it's a punch.
I came here to, you know,
what do you want to talk about?
Y'all show. Y'all asked me to come here. I didn't come here for this abuse. So
what do you want
to
talk about?
I'm talking about. I'm going. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye. Well, we're glad.
This is ridiculous.
Well, how do you think that went?
Apparently, this is why other people don't ask any questions of Anna, because she gets pissed.
Apparently, Larry King had it right, I guess.
Yeah, just walked out.
Well, you know, you're going to do what you're going to do, I guess.
You guys can take that break now.
Thanks for your time.
That break that we need to take?
Yeah.
See you, Anna.
See you, Howard.
Bye.
Bye,
thanks,
Kim.
You guys.
Nice meeting you.
Enjoy. Bye now. Enjoyed that.
How'd that go?
Well, look, I don't think that was our fault. I'm sorry. You wanted to ask some questions, and...
Well, I think it didn't help that she came in mad because she heard us talking negatively about her.
What she hears is what America is saying, and she had an opportunity to set the record straight, and she doesn't even want to know what America's saying.
But if people were saying, you know, how fat I was and everything leading up to an interview, I probably wouldn't walk into a room with the best attitude either.
Yeah. Well... We've had better interviews.
She's obviously sensitive to it, but you know, maybe too much so.
I feel bad. I'm not trying to hurt.
Yeah, you do.
No, I wasn't trying to hurt her feelings.
One thing we know is not true.
Don't insult me.
You feel bad. I wasn't trying to hurt her feelings. I was trying to find out. I'm trying to figure out how she got from point A to point W. Like I said earlier, that's what I'm trying to figure out is what happened to this
woman.
But
you said from being one of the most beautiful women in the world to where you are now. How did that happen?
Right.
Instead of saying, you seems like you put on some weight. How did you gain all the weight?
You know, wouldn't have gone over any better,
Ralph. That's much better.
But it's like the way you say, you were so beautiful, and now today you look like this. I mean, that's a kind of a shot.
Here's the point, though, Bean. Here's the point.
It's a shot. It is.
Here's the point. The point is that they were mad when they walked in. And then we made them more mad by asking about the drugs.
And the lawyer thing.
And the lawyer. And then they were really, really, really mad. And that's when you came with the weight.
Well, I think you figured this was his last chance.
I don't know. Maybe one softball. And then come back.
Well, I was thinking in general it would have been nice to kind of make nice and talk about the show. And then when
that's
you
what
came
I kept
back.
To do.
No, you said, a lot of people haven't asked you, but are you on drugs? You came in with the drugs. He came in with the weight. We didn't have a chance to soften him up. I thought maybe we'd have a little small talk, relax the room a little bit, and then you could get into some tougher questions later.
Well, we'll do it again when she comes in next time.
Okay.
Look, I want Brittany to be happy. I don't wish her any ill will, but she can't get back together with Kevin Federline, can she? I don't want to see that disaster, that train wreck happening again.
Star Magazine reports that they were both in court recently, Kevin Federline and Britney Spears. She got expanded visitation rights to the children.
Fine. I want the kids to have a mom. That's fine. I hope everybody's healthy and happy, but don't let them get back together.
According to Star Magazine, Britney and Kevin are in regular contact. In fact, they've been having weekly steamy phone sex.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. I've heard his vocabulary and I've heard hers. I can't imagine what it's like.
An insider tells Star Magazine they have phone sex often, at least once a week.
No kidding.
Wow.
So apparently they are rekindling their relationship at least on the telephone.
Hmm.
And we got sent a link and we have some of the phone sex between Britney and Kevin.
Someone recorded it?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Wait until you hear Britney and Kevin having phone sex.
Hello?
Hey, baby. It's me.
Oh, hey. What's up?
Hey, Sugar Plum. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Are you with the little one and the one who's a little bigger than the little one?
Yeah. Lupita's got him in the other room right now.
Oh. So listen, honey bunny, sugar plum, pumpkin, I was calling because we need some special Brit mommy time. Just a little bit.
Oh, right now?
Please, because I want to do it before the heels comes on.
All right, hold on.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm cooking bacon.
Oh, bacon.
Yeah, that's right, it's greasy bacon. Mm. I got a whole pan full of bacon I'm cooking it.
Oh, fat and greasy?
Oh, yeah, I'm cooking it. You like that?
Oh,
it's sizzling. It's sizzling.
Oh,
yeah, I'm dipping that bacon in chocolate.
Oh.
That's right, chocolate bacon. Oh, yeah.
White chocolate bacon?
Oh, white chocolate bacon.
Oh, white chocolate bacon.
Oh, white chocolate bacon. I'm cooking it. And I'm dipping it. You like that?
You like that? Yes.
Bacon's got its own Facebook.
Oh,
I'm looking
honey.
At bacon on Facebook. Oh, yeah. It's dirty bacon. It's dirty bacon.
Okay.
Smack that bacon.
Oh,
a bacon smoking cigarettes.
Oh, honey, can you unwrap it? A ding dong?
I'm unwrapping that ding dong. I'm putting cigarettes in a ding dong. It's raining cigarettes and ding dongs on your face. On your face. Yeah, bend over and take a cigarette. Yeah, smoke it. Bacon.
Baby,
bacon.
Will you lick Funyuns off my
Oh, yeah. There's Funyuns all up on you.
Oh,
Funyuns.
Yeah.
Dipping them Funyuns. The Funyuns and Red Bull.
Christmas
you like
bacon
that?
And
Funyuns and Red Bull.
Oh,
I'm dipping the Funyuns in Red Bull.
Red Bull.
Yes.
You like that?
Too much, baby. Oh, it's almost as good as the time we're at the Cracker Barrel. Oh, baby, thank you so much. Oh, love it. Thank you.
All right, so I'll see you, my lawyer, on Friday.
Oh, yeah, you're not getting a dime.
All right, peace.
Bye.
Wow.
That was strangely hot.
See, because she's turned on by fatty foods.
I get that, yeah.
Is the point there. She eats fatty foods.
Uh-huh. Right.
And she gets
point has been made.
Turned on by the fat.
We all heard it, actually.
In the food.
Right.
So that's what their phone sex is about.
Wow. That's what it would sound like right there.
Chocolate bacon. You know, we love the fast food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you guys are big fast food eaters.
And we love the fast food even more now that this story has come out. A fast food worker in Mill Valley was arrested yesterday on suspicion of selling marijuana through the drive-up window. Carlos Leonel Ayala, 26 years old, of Vallejo, arrested on his way to work at the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Apparently, fantastic.
What would happen is people would drive through and ask for food a certain way, and then they would pull up to the window and they would get pot.
That was
he had a code word. It was like the right quo flies at midnight or something like that.
Yeah, here's the weird part about the story, though. It wasn't anything like that. It wasn't covert. It's something that people order all the time.
So did he get caught because someone ordered it and didn't want pot?
You know what it was? When people ask for biscuits. Which, by the way,
it comes with every meal.
Well, how stupid are you? It's like if you ask for a soft drink, I'm going to give you pot. I mean, people buy biscuits all the time at the drive-thru window and don't want pot.
Well,
so a guy drove through and said, "I'd like some extra biscuits," and he's like, "All right, buddy, come on up," and he gives the guy a bag of pot, and the guy goes to the police and says, "Dude, I wanted biscuits. They gave me pot." What a jackass! How stupid do you have to be to use something that everybody orders?
This guy's in big trouble, too, because this Kentucky Fried Chicken was within 1,000 feet of a high school, which apparently was where a lot of the business was coming from.
Yeah.
I bet, you know what, it's perfect if you're running a fast food place because you get the munchies, you go right back through the drive-thru and get some more food.
Right, exactly.
You just sell. It's a win-win for everyone.
Jim Nicole, a regional KFC spokesman based in South San Francisco, said the company will conduct a separate investigation of the incident. And I thought yesterday maybe it would be good if I conducted my own investigation and drive through a Kentucky Fried Chicken and see if they're handing out. Maybe it's a nationwide thing. Maybe it's a program they instituted.
Underground promotion that they're doing. So you went to look for some extra biscuits?
Yeah. So I drove through Kentucky Fried Chicken and I said, "Extra biscuits, please."
Uh huh.
And this is how what happened.
Hi, my name is Carlos. We got the special honey barbecue.
Huh?
The special honey barbecue for $2.99.
By the way, I don't know if you guys heard that, but they have this thing now at the drive-thrus where a recorded voice first tries to sell you something.
Oh, that wasn't even the real person working. Carlos was not actually there working the window.
No, then the woman comes on. She's the one working the window. Now, the weird thing is, and the reason that you can't really hear her very good, is because at this particular Kentucky Fried Chicken, the order booth is maybe 10 feet from the window where you pick up the food. So she's watching me order. So I'm trying to hide the microphone so she can't see that I'm recording it as I ask for extra biscuits.
Does the honey barbecue combo come with biscuits?
Yes, 6 minutes. No, we're done. Only once I ordered a medium drink.
Okay, I would like that with a diet, please. Did you say that does or does not come with biscuits?
No, we're done. Okay, you want 6 honey barbecue wings combo?
No. No. I want the number 9, the honey barbecue combo with the sandwich.
What are you ordering?
Biscuits.
Not with the biscuits, sir. You don't want
to say, unless she tells me that the meal does not come with biscuits, and I can't get biscuits.
Didn't she? Wait, I thought she started out by telling you that it comes with 6 biscuits.
She misunderstood my order, just like all comedy things. She thought I wanted 6 barbecue wings or something.
By the way, who's working the leaf blower between you and her?
I don't know where that noise came from. All right, here's some more. I mean, she will not let me order biscuits. Maybe that means they're out of pot.
Okay, for the side, I'd like extra biscuits.
Side orders.
Yes. Biscuit.
Now she's listing coleslaw, mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese, but not biscuits. You can't
get biscuits on the side, okay?
How are biscuits not a side order?
I don't know.
Are they a main order? Do people come through and say, "I want a number one," and it's biscuits and fries and a drink? It's a side order! Right?
It ought to be. Yeah.
You mean a biscuit's not a side order?
No, we don't.
All right, could I have extra biscuits?
No, I don't have to miss it, the side order. It's okay. The barbecue sandwich combo is once I order the medium drink. You want potato wedges, mashed potato, coleslaw,
I'll take potato wedges and some extra biscuits.
Okay.
Can you add the extra biscuits?
I give you extra biscuits. 64 cents. Every offer you can.
Can you add the extra biscuits?
How many biscuits do you want? Two or one?
Two, please.
Every offer you can?
Yes, that'll do it.
Okay, you said 570. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
See, dude, they gave me biscuits.
That's bullshit.
So you mean just biscuits?
So I, yeah.
Well, how did she end up just folding on the whole, I'm going to give you biscuits, even though I've been telling you for 20 minutes that you can't have them?
You can't order them as a side, but you can order them extra, I guess. Okay. But anyway, I didn't get any pot, so I drove through again. I figured maybe what I could do this time is maybe it's the key is just ordering the biscuits.
Oh, I see. Because who knows, right?
Not getting a meal and all that other crap.
You're purchasing KFC. My name is there. You want to get an A honey bar? Can we put you in anything today?
No thing. Hi, I just like just only extra biscuits.
Now, remember, she's looking at me, the same guy that just ordered 2 seconds ago. I can't hide around the corner because she can't see. She's looking right at me. Going, why is he back in? He already ordered extra
biscuits.
And I gave him extra biscuits in the bag.
Only one extra biscuit?
However many it takes.
I put 2 extra biscuits.
Now she's saying, I already gave you 2 extra biscuits. Why would you be ordering more?
Because with the combo, it doesn't include the biscuits. Only once I ordered a medium drink.
I know, but I'd like the sticky green biscuits, if you know what I mean.
I'm sorry, sir. Come through the window, please.
Okay.
I'm sorry, come through the window, please.
So I can beat the hell out of you.
You know what you gave me?
Biscuits.
Biscuits.
Now you have like 12 biscuits.
So I drove through again.
My name is Carlos. We got the special A honey bar.
The special A honey bar can win for $2.99.
Yeah, do you have any pot?
That didn't work either.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ.
Bean has a bird. He does his show from a home in just outside Seattle. And a bird hates him. Hates him.
By the way, you say a home as if I've been put away, like in a padded room somewhere.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we sent him to a home.
That kind of home, yeah. He has a bird that lands on the window and starts squawking at him every day, and he hates Bean.
I've never had a bird hate me.
Me either.
You're talking about the Blue Jay of Hate who's been stalking me for about 2 years?
The Blue Jay of Hate.
2 years? Seriously?
Yeah. Yes, 2 years. This bird has been up my ass.
Why wouldn't I know that you won't kill even the smallest of animals. Because you're screwed up in the head. But why wouldn't you at least get, I don't know, like a BB gun or something, just kind of sting it a little bit, just to kind of get it to go away and not be there.
I'm not going
to
shoot a bird just because he lives in my yard.
No, but this is the Blue Jay of Hate.
Right, but it's his home. He lives here, too.
Right, but he's full of hate.
I can coexist. Look, dude, so 2 years, he coexists with me.
That's true. He should take you out. So 2 years a bird is squawking at me? I'm sorry. I got to take it out.
This bird, I know it sounds like Kevin's joking. It's not just that this bird's annoying. This bird follows me. This bird chases me. This bird comes and peers at me with his beady little bird eyes.
Really?
He sits outside the window for an hour at a time and just looks at me and goes, it really is kind of, I mean, it's to the point now where I don't know what's going on. It concerns me.
You're
going to
be walking outside one day and the bird, the Blue Jay of Hate, is going to swoop down and just take out an eye with his beak.
Oh,
well,
wow.
Hopefully it's the one with the tube.
That'd be the way to go, wouldn't it?
The Blue Jay of Hate.
Pet to death by a Blue Jay.
If I'm telling you the honest truth, if that bird was doing that to me, I would have no problem killing that bird. None.
Dude, you don't kill a bird just because it does bird things. You don't kill
but
a bird.
But the other birds aren't mad at you. Just this one. This is the only bird that hates you, right?
Yeah. As far as I know, did I accidentally knock his nest down? I don't know what happened. I've never done anything to the Blue Jay of Hate that I'm aware of, but we're a little early right now. If it were half an hour from right now, I'd be able to turn the mic up and you'd be able to hear the Blue Jay of Hate because he's like clockwork.
It's just like women. Women instantly hate Bean. Just like as soon as they meet him, they hate him.
I think this bird hates the sound of his voice.
This bird is annoyed by everything Bean stands for.
Now, what
this
is
bird
this note?
Hates the post office. He hates everything.
This note I'm getting from producer Lightning says that we have somebody on the phone to talk to us on this topic.
We lined up the Blue Jay of Hate. We have him. Hello? Are you the Blue Jay of Hate?
I hate Bean.
That's him. That's the Blue Jay of Hate. I can verify that's definitely him.
What? Why do you hate Bean?
Oh, God, shut up, Bean! Oh, I like the post office. Oh, Edmund Fitzgerald, greatest dog ever. Oh, Barry Manilow. Oh, boy, if he did it today, the Mariners would be in first place.
But Blue Jay of Hate, I have to ask, you don't live in the house with me. How are you able to hear all this stuff?
Why
are
you won't shut up! You're everywhere, all over the island! Brad! Oh, Prairie Home Companion, Delica Keeler! Brad! Oh, I read on my blog today! I want you dead!
Have you tried to get any other birds on your side, Blue Jay of Hate?
Yes!
They don't care?
Try to get hawks.
Yeah.
Try to get eagles.
They don't care.
Try to get sparrows.
Wow.
They don't care.
You're a lonely voice in the wilderness.
I'm the only one who knows he must die.
Are you going to try and kill him?
Back! 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 Yes.
You know that song that we end every week's shows with called Don't Bogart Me that we play by the great Robert Bradley in the Blackwater Surprise? Well, he's here in our studio. He's going to be performing that live for us. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Robert and Matt from the Blackwater Surprise. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing great, man. Thanks for joining us. It was a real surprise to us when we got an email kind of out of the blue last week from someone who works, I guess, with your label or management or something and said, hey, the guys are going to be in L.A. working on a new record. Mind if they stop by? And we said, hell yeah.
We're glad to, come on over because, that song is very dear to me because, you know what I mean, because back in the 90s when I was hanging out with Kid Rock and everything, me and him was hanging out like about 93 or 94. And I went over to his house and, you know, how white guys had the best weed, you know what I mean? So,
I didn't know that.
I could smell it, you know what I mean? And I said, hey, man, don't boogie out your joint. He said, oh, man, you know that's a song, man. Won't you record that? You know what I mean? And it was a good thing, you know. We had a good time with it, you know what I mean? And that was when me and him, you know, we got together and Matthew and everything. We worked on my first video together,
right?
You know what I mean. Which I never seen yet. I haven't saw it yet. I mean, I wish somebody would describe it to me, but no, we had a good time doing that, and that's how that song came to be. And then about, I think it was like 1998, they had some big hippolation or something,
right?
Party up in New York at the Wetland. They said, "Hey, Robert, you do this song, you can come up and I test out the best marijuana in America."
There you go. Fantastic.
At the Wetlands, and I went up there, and then, I swear, and then that song been in my heart ever since.
I've never heard that story before, that it was Kid Rock who introduced you to that song. Now, the song has its roots going all the way back to the 60s, right? It has been around for decades.
Yeah, but like I said, you know, I mean, you know, after I left for Alabama, you know, I quit listening to country music. I went to rock and R&B, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, when I got up there, I had never heard it before.
Right, sure.
And
sure.
He just told me, he said, "Yeah, man, that's a song." He said, "You should record it." You know what I mean? And then 6 years later, that happened. You know what I mean?
And now, for folks who don't recognize the name Robert Bradley's Blackwater Surprise, you guys have been around a long time, more than 10 years now. You got what, 5 or 6 albums out there under your belt, and you guys are road dogs. You're out there all the time playing, right?
Yeah, I was out there for a long time, and what happened was, I decided to get married again, and I had some little kids, and I got tired of the road, and so I went to the state, and I got a job working for the state, and then what happened was I said, oh, man, I feel like I'm 25 because I had these little kids, and I was playing with them, and I got this job, and I had to lift it. I said, oh, I can do this. So I lifted up 3 cases of pop at one time.
Right.
Caught a hernia. Had to have an operation and everything. No. Then I said, "The hell with this lifting pops. I'm going back to singing."
Robert's 57.
I needed. I said, "Man, forget this job. I'm going back to singing." So I met Bruce Robert at Cherokee Studios and his production, and a friend of mine. He helped on the Lackawanna Blues stuff, and
Sure.
So therefore, you know, we got a record there with Quarter to Three going to be coming out soon. We just been out here, and then somebody told
Michael
told us about it. Said y'all was playing this song, and I said, What?
I got to tell you, we talked about this earlier this morning because I was asking Bean, how did we start playing this song at the end of our shows on Friday? And neither of us could even remember. I know it came from Bean. He was a fan, and he brought it in, and he wanted to play it. But
it's been years, though. Years. I mean, 7-8 years we've been playing it.
Seven, 8 years, since the beginning and the end of every Friday show. And we get people. We go do remotes and stuff. People sing along with it. It's just crazy. We can't even remember huge. How it began.
Well, I just want to know which one of y'all was Bogart and the John.
Hey, Matt, let me ask you this, Matt. Is it true, the story that I hear, that Robert was playing on the street, like as a busker or something like that, and maybe you and some of the other guys in the band found out about him and kind of hooked up with him that way? What's the real story of how you guys got together with him?
Oh, man, we was hanging out in Detroit recording in the White Room Studios, and Robert just be out on the street singing and playing on his guitar, and he always found the best spots in Detroit where his voice would reverberate.
Right.
So no matter where you are, you could hear him. You know, he didn't need no microphone, nothing like that. And one day we were trying to record. We had to shut the window because he was singing so loud. Then finally we said, man, we got to go down and check this guy out. We got to do something with him.
We either got to involve him in this or move studios.
Either hire him or get him to shut up.
Oh, man, we never wanted him to shut up. No, he's a beautiful man, and I'm very happy and feel blessed to be with Rob all these years.
Well, it's very cool, and we play it a lot, but our audience not super familiar with you, and we get emails all the time. Who is that? Where did that song come from? What is it? And we always try to point him to you, Robert.
You know, I probably got need to go outside in the parking lot and have a little bit
absolutely.
Of that. And then to get in it, you know, we always say, beam me up, Mr. Scotty.
Robert Bradley, Blackwater Surprise, in the studio with us. It was, for folks who weren't listening a few minutes ago, it was a completely unexpected out-of-the-blue treat. We got a call from somebody from his camp that said, hey, he's in town working on a new record. How about if he stops by and does your Friday song live? And that's what we're proud to present for you right now. Mr. Bradley, it's all yours, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. We're going to do this song that I hope I remember.
Go ahead.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one, just like the other one. This seems about to quit, and I need another hit. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it around. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Just pass it on down. Roll another one, just like the other one. Seems that I got the change. I like smoking reefer in the rain. Don't bogart that joint, my friend, and pass it around. Don't bogart that joint, my friend, just pass it on down. I don't bogart that joint, my friend, and just pass it around. Just give
to listen a little bit. That's prayer of blood that I'm doing, my friend. On all press and all down.
Hey! Well, what did you have, you?
Come on!
Come on.
How about that?
Awesome.
What a treat. What a treat.
Thank you very much. Y'all beautiful.